Hare Krishna. Thank you for being with us today. Our children, with such sincere devotion, performed this beautiful drama for us. So I'd like to say something about the drama. In Jujumana Maharaj was a great king. He had inconceivable wealth, extraordinary power. He was very strong. He was young. He was loved. He was loved by practically everyone in the world. He had no elections he had to campaign for. He was inevitably to be the king as long as he so desired. No rival. That means his magnificent palace. The prime minister can only stay in the prime minister's house as long as he's the prime minister. In America, the president can only stay as long as he's president. Then he's not allowed in the White House to stay anymore. He might be able to visit if the next president happens to invite him. So in this world, power comes and goes. Wealth comes and goes. But with King Indrajumana Maharaj, with Satya Yuga, everything he had complete stability. And he had a wonderful family. Everything the world offers, he had beyond the imagination of the people of Kali Yuga. When he heard from a great sage that the Supreme Lord in the form of a deity, Nilamadhava, was somewhere on this earth, nothing else meant anything to him. He was yearning, longing, crying to give his heart and his life to the Lord. Because he was a Rajarshi, he was actually a great king. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Greatness means to understand that everything is the property of God, of Krishna. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Suhradam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimirchati. As long as we have this misconception that anything is mine, or that I am the doer to get credit, that conception, according to the Vedas, is duratma, means very small-minded. Real greatness, mahatma, is to see everything as Krishna's property. Whether you're a king or whether you're sweeping the street, that has nothing to do with greatness. It's that humility, detachment, and devotion that makes a person great. King Indrajumna Maharaj sent his most trusted minister to literally search the earth for Krishna. Can you imagine? Krishna's right here on our altar. We could come anytime. Brahmacharis, all you have to do is just go to the next room. Congregation, yes, it may seem like such a treacherous long journey from Borivali or from Vashi. But Vidyapati was willing to search the earth, and he did. And he was so faithful because he loved his king. He went, and he had darshan himself, and he had every reason just to stay there. Lalita was such a nice lady, and Nila Madhava. He could just have stayed there and worshipped him for the rest of his life. But this is how much people were literally devoted to their king. And as soon as King Indrajumna Maharaj, for him, his wealth, his kingdom, his power, his prestige, the love of his people meant nothing. Srila Prabhupada explained, without Krishna, everything we have are like so many zeros. But people of this world, they love to collect zeros. It's the fashion. It's the goal of life. Who can collect the most zeros? And for materialistic people, they really take seriously how many zeros they have, how many zeros other people have, and to somehow or other get somebody else's zeros for myself. Like that, yes. This person, look at how many zeros. I need to get those zeros from me. People declare wars. Wars where millions of people die and tens of millions of people are without their family members just to acquire some more zeros. No, this is my zero. No, my zero. But for a devotee of the Lord, it's all zeros. So if you have 10 trillion zeros, what's the value of it? If you multiply your 10 trillion zeros with 30% interest, what is the value of what you have? From a spiritual perspective, from a material perspective, it's quadrillions of zeros. From a spiritual perspective, it's zero. Whether you have one zero or billions of zeros, it has the same value. Zero. But when we have love for Krishna, devotion to Krishna, Krishna is the one supreme absolute truth. When we place that one in front of our zeros, it gives value to everything. Eternal value. Whatever intelligence we have, whatever money we're using in his service, whatever abilities we're using in his service, whatever properties we're using in his service, it all has infinite value. Kalavecha Sridhar, he was living in that little straw hut, no furniture, slept on the floor. This one little broken up, rusted water pot was practically his only possession. And yet Lord Chaitanya said, "You have such great wealth, but you are hiding it. Someday I will expose it." Now Lord Chaitanya is Lakshminath, the husband of the goddess of fortune. He knows what wealth is. Kalavecha Sridhar's wealth was his love for Krishna. His unconditional devotion. During Mahaprakash Lila, when he was offered the opulences of Indra, when he was offered the cities of the yogis, when he was offered liberation, he said, "These are all disturbances. I only want to be the servant of your servants. Just let me always remember you with love as little Nimai coming to take my bananas." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees realized he's the wealthiest man on earth because he had that inner wealth of love, prema. So King Indrajumana, he was actually the same as Kalavecha Sridhar in consciousness, except instead of living in a straw hut, he was living in a palace like no other palace. Instead of selling banana leaves, he was ruling the world. But it was all a zero without love for Krishna. So he was willing to give up everything for that love for Krishna. Such eagerness. Lolyam. That eagerness. That intense desire. Rupa Goswami tells that is the price to receive Krishna. Vyavashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kudunandana bahushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavashayanam. To have that resolute, determined purpose, to be focused. To love Krishna, to serve Krishna. To be with Krishna. It's an anxiety. But it's an anxiety that breeds ecstasy, nourishes the deepest instincts of the love of the soul. And this was the quality of Indrajumana Maharaj. And because he had that desire, Krishna was always putting him in more anxiety to increase his love, to increase his eagerness. He never gave up. As the children showed, he left everything to go to Nilamadava. He was willing to move his whole kingdom to wherever Nilamadava was. Yes? Could you imagine? He really considered himself the servant. If this is where Krishna is, it's not for me to take Krishna back to me. We'll move the whole kingdom to where Krishna is. But when he went there, Krishna sent the sandstorm, or as was this Gopal's fun school that performed this play? Anyways, Gopal's fun schools explained it to be a cyclone. And everything was gone, and Nilamadava was gone. Can you imagine? He sacrificed everything. It was his only purpose, his only goal, his only meditation in life, and now gone. He was about to die. And then he received the message that the Lord will come in the form of these logs in the ocean. at the Niladri, at the Blue Mountain, near the ocean on the eastern coast. So he resided there, just waiting for those logs. It's the only thing he breathed for, is for those logs to come. And then they came with the marks of Vishnu upon them. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. And he had the carvings of Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra. And what was his anxiety then? To see them? He'd be outside just listening to the chipping away. Then there was no chipping anymore. What was his eagerness? His eagerness completely surpassed his intelligence. And he went into the room, even though he knew he wasn't supposed to be there. And it appeared like unfinished deities. Then again, I ruined everything. So many obstacles. I have displeased Krishna. But then Krishna, Narada Muni appeared and said, no, this is Krishna's Mahaprakash, his Mahabhava Prakash. In the ecstasy of his separation from Vrindavan while living in Dwarka, this is how their bodies transformed. And I saw that form long ago. And I prayed that somewhere in the world, this form of Krishna in his ecstasies of separation with his brother and sister would give liberation to the world. And now it is coming true. Indrajumna Maharaj, according to the Lord's wish, Narada Muni's vision, he installed the Lord, built a temple, and from the place where the Lord was given his Abhishek, there was a Rath Yatra for the Lord to enter his temple. And that Rath Yatra has been on earth for so many long years, since time immemorial. And even today, between 800,000 and 1 million people are on the same road at the same time to see Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra in the Rath Yatra. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made this Rath Yatra very much the center of his loving pastimes with his devotees. He would invite all the devotees from Bengal, from various parts of Orissa, to join him for the Rath Yatra every year after he took sannyas. But first he taught people how, in order to actually appreciate the Rath Yatra, we have to clean our hearts. So he cleansed the Gundicha temple. And after thoroughly cleansing Gundicha, and then thoroughly cleansing the Narasingha temple beside it with all of his most confidential devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He was beyond himself in bliss. Because he and his devotees together cleaned. That was their greatest happiness, cleaning. The Supreme Lord, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, Adwaitacharya, all these great souls, Nityananda Prabhu, they were sweeping and washing and cleaning. The most simple menial service anyone can do. It's a beautiful pastime. These are some of the greatest scholars, the greatest incarnations, the greatest renunciates, the greatest gurus. And they were sweeping. Anyone could sweep. Anyone could wash. What was it that gave them so much happiness? They were doing it together for Krishna. Simplicity, we have been discussing this. Simple heart. Just being together, whether we're seeing a drama, chanting the holy names, cleaning a floor, distributing books, doing Harinam Sankirtan, cooking, cleaning, organizing, it really doesn't matter what we do. What matters is we're pleasing Krishna. We're together pleasing Krishna. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. He was in so much happiness. He told Swarup Damodar Goswami to lead kirtan. When Swarup Damodar Goswami would chant, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into his most intimate, highest spiritual happiness. Because Swarup Damodar Goswami knew exactly what was in Lord Chaitanya's heart, and he would sing accordingly. He was perfectly tuned to the Lord's bhav, or his love. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the devotees chanting so loud. They made a circle around him. He danced. When Lord Chaitanya was cleaning the Gundicha temple, he was so happy doing it. He was cleaning it with his tears. And he was bathing all the devotees with his tears. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said his tears were falling like the rains in the month of Shravan. Do you remember some years ago we went to Rath Yatra together and the monsoon rains were pouring down for a good portion of the parade? How many were there for that? Please raise your hands. It was a storm, massive storm. The rain was pouring down. And where do you go? Jagannath is there, and we're here. And there's about 1 million people all around us. There's no umbrellas or rooftops. We just danced and chanted in the rain. Literally, that's the way Lord Chaitanya's tears were falling. Hare Krishna. You may say, how could two eyes cry like that, like a monsoon rain? It's a good question. But this is a Chintya Shakti, the Lord's inconceivable potency. Because what were those tears? Those tears were the manifestation of Sri Radha's love for Krishna. Radha bhava dhuti subalitam nomi Krishna swarupam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna with the bhava, the mahabhava, the love of Sri Radha, and her beautiful golden complexion. So as he was bathing all the devotees with his tears and he was jumping so high, another inconceivable thing, when he would jump high, and he would come down with his bare feet on the ground, the entire earth planet shook. How wonderful. Then he stopped the kirtan. And he turned to Advaitacharya's son, Gopal. He's quite young. And Lord Chaitanya said to Gopal, Gopal, chant. This was quite a scene. So everyone was looking at Gopal. And Gopal chanted. Because he was so infused with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to chant, he cried out the name of Krishna and then fell to the ground unconscious. The devotees were shocked. His father, Advaita Prabhu, picked him up and put his head on his own lap. And Advaitacharya Prabhu saw that his son was not breathing. He was totally unconscious. It appeared he was dead. There was no symptom of life. So Advaita began to loudly cry out the names of Lord Narasingadev. And all the devotees came around in a circle around Advaitacharya, who had his son in his lap. They were mortified. They loved him so dearly. Gopal. Intensely they were crying out the holy names of Krishna, trying to invoke Krishna to bring life back to this boy. But he remained lifeless, breathless. Advaitacharya cried, the natural crying of a father for a son, but not just an ordinary son, a dear, dear associate of the Supreme Lord. Advaita was crying, every single one of the devotees cried. As they were chanting louder and louder from the core of their hearts, Krishna's holy name.
Krishna! 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 Krishna!
To see their beloved Gopal apparently gone, and to see their beloved Advaitacharya in the agony of losing his son, this is how they were chanting. Lord Chaitanya is the one who told him to chant. Why did he do that? The same reason he disappeared as Nila Madhava, to increase the intensity of the eagerness of his devotees. How? What kind of kirtan that was? Such an eagerness, such an urgency as they cried out Krishna's names. And then when everything was totally hopeless and helpless, Lord Chaitanya looked at little lifeless Gopal and said, Gopal, stand up. Gopal opened his eyes, started breathing, and he just looked at the Lord. I guess he stood up. And when the devotees saw that, more loudly, more enthusiastically, more lovingly did they all together call out, love and separation creates such deep union. A few days ago, on Shivaratri, I went to the Yogapit, the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every year I go there with some of my dear friends, and there's the well, it's a secret, so I can't tell you. But it's a special Shivaratri secret. Because I go with a few friends. And if we don't keep it a secret, it may not be a few friends. But while I was there, I had the beautiful darshan of the beautiful Murtis, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Thakur Bhakti Vinod discovered the birthplace. And although he was a justice advocate in the British courtroom system, a great scholar, a guru, after he found the birthplace and confirmed it on the basis of scripture, on the basis of ancient geographical maps, on the basis of the confirmation of the greatest saints in the world, a little field occupied by people who were not even Hindus. And right in the spot where he saw a light and realized, according to the scriptures and maps, he went to that spot and it was profusely growing with tulsi plants. He brought Jagannath Das Babaji. Could this be the place? Jagannath Das Babaji, who was carried in a basket, who had not walked. He was 120 years old. He had not walked in decades. His servant put down the basket he used to carry him. And he jumped into the air and danced. Yes, this is the birthplace of Sachinandan, the son of Sachi. Bhaktivinoda went house to house asking everyone for 1 rupee to build the temple. And a newspaper at the time said, who can refuse Kedaranath Dutt when such an esteemed, exalted person is begging house to house to build a temple for his beloved Lord? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur developed it. And on the main altar, there are 3 deities. Lakshmi Devi, Vishnu Priya, and in the center, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as I was standing before them with folded palms, I was thinking, as I was looking at Lakshmi Devi, I hope she was looking at me, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna is happy to see you. But I was thinking, Sri Chaitanya, Lord Gauranga married Lakshmi Devi and totally conquered her heart. She had such deep love for him. When the Lord went to Bangladesh, in those days, East Bengal, to teach the people there, to deliver Tapan Mishra, he was away for some time. And Lakshmi Devi could not live in separation. What was her eagerness? What was the depth of her love? Literally, she didn't want to put Sachi Devi in any anxiety. So she would just secretly cry all night in separation from Lord Gauranga so that Sachi didn't see. And during the day, she would somehow or other hide that vipralamba, this separation. But at a certain time, it was beyond her control. She went to the bank of the Ganga, and fixing her heart and her life and her love at the lotus feet of Gauranga, it says she was bitten by the serpent of separation. That doesn't mean a worldly snake. That means from her heart. The separation was so intense, she couldn't even wait for him to return. She just gave up her life and went back to Godhead so she could immediately be with him again. Lakshmi and Vishnupriya are expansions of Radharani. They are the Shakti. They are expansions of the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha's love, as his Shaktis, they were seeing him like Radha sees Krishna. She couldn't live without him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came home and Sachi Mata. Everyone was so happy that the Lord finally returned. And he was joking with everyone. And Sachi Devi was just, she was in so much pain that her daughter-in-law had left, because she loved Lakshmi so dearly. And for Sachi Devi's pleasure, Lord Chaitanya agreed to marry again to that same Lakshmi in another form, in the sense of the Hladini Shakti as Vishnupriya. And how they served Krishna together and served all the devotees together. And then Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and left. Now Lakshmi Devi, for her it was a quick thing. She just went back to Godhead to be with her Lord. She couldn't live in the world without him, even for another day. Vishnupriya, she was in the same intensity of separation from Krishna, Mahaprabhu, but she lived. She lived 24 hours a day, practically couldn't eat or sleep her whole life, only crying in separation of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya arranged a deity of himself for her to worship and serve. And that somehow kept her alive. She would be chanting the names of the Lord, and she would chant on a grain of rice and then put it aside. And she would chant the names of her beloved on another grain of rice and put it aside. And after some time, when there was a little pile of rice, she would cook it and offer that to her deity of Gauranga. And that's all she ate. What was the flavor of that rice? Patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna accepts our love. He doesn't accept the food. He accepts the love in the food. Radharani's expansion, Vishnupriya, the consort of the Lord, was with all of her heart chanting his names on that rice and cooking it and offering it. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he was in Puri, he completely assumed within his heart that quality of his Hladini Shakti. Lakshmi Devi cried and died in separation from Krishna. Vishnupriya cried the rest of her life in separation from Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the last 12 years of his life in Gambhira, was constantly crying in separation from Krishna. Mahaprabhu was tasting the same sweetness of Lakshmi Devi's love and separation, of Vishnupriya's love and separation, to the highest degrees, to the highest dimensions. They were in separation from Mahaprabhu, and he was in separation from himself in the mood of Radha. So as I was looking at these three deities, I was thinking, this love and separation is so deep, and it's so profound, and it's so wonderful. This eagerness. The Harinam Sankirtan movement is the nourishment to bring about this union in separation, this highest dimension of love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, this is the real inner essence of Ratha Yatra, where we are all coming together to awaken that love. And to conclude, I'd like to invite all of you to come to join us for Ratha Yatra this year. In Jagannath Puri, approximately every 5 years or so we go. It's very special. But coming here on Sunday to chant and dance in the presence of Radha Gopinath, we shouldn't take it for granted. According to our eagerness, it's every bit as auspicious, as holy as Ratha Yatra. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti matpa. Krishna tells, wherever my devotees gather together to chant my names, I will be there. One day in Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting, he was performing kirtan at the house of Srivas. And Suklambar Brahmachari, he had a little hut on the bank of the Ganga. Just a simple, poor brahmachari. Nobody knew who he was. They didn't even know his name. He was just a little brahmachari who used to go out and beg every day. He would beg usually about 10 people's houses, always chanting Krishna's names. Totally unassuming, unpretentious, humble, loving devotee. And he would just get some broken pieces of raw rice. Now one day, after his begging, in his little bag, he had this raw rice, uncleaned, unwashed, unpolished. And he joined the kirtan. He was dancing so blissfully. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with seeing how blissfully he was dancing and singing Krishna's names that he called Suklambar to come closer, thrust his hand into the cloth bag and took a whole handful of this uncooked, unpolished, uncleaned, broken rice. And he ate it. Suklambar Brahmachari couldn't believe this. Even he would at least cook it. And the Lord liked it so much, he thrust his hand in again and took more and more and more. According to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he ate all the rice, handful after handful after handful. Nobody could stop him. This was his eagerness to taste the sweetness of the love of his own devotee. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he glorified the holy names. He gave this verse, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In another place, he tells that his own guru, Ishwarapuri, gave him this verse to meditate upon. That in this age of Kali, to gain that highest realization of ecstatic love of God, the way is to chant the holy names. Nasteva, Nasteva, there's no other way. And he was explaining this verse. It's written there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Adi Lila. Nasteva, 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 three times is for emphasis. Kalikale Namarupe Krishnavatar. The Lord explained that in this age of Kali, Krishna has incarnated in his holy names. And then he gave this verse. Trinadapi suni jena taror iba sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadari. This is how we must cultivate the chanting of the holy names. Feeling oneself humble like a blade of grass. Tolerant, forgiving like a tree. Offering all honor and respect to others without expecting it honor for ourselves. Then we could chant constantly. And Kaviraj Goswami explained, Lord Chaitanya raised his arms high in the air and proclaimed that this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, put it on the string of the holy names of Krishna and wear it. Constantly, never forget it. Constantly remember this verse. And through this instruction to chant the holy names in this spirit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened the doors for everyone, anyone. Rupa Goswami said, the sign of an advanced devotee is that they do not have the tendency to criticize others. It's not necessarily according to how many verses we know or how many verses we don't know. It's not necessarily how nicely we can dress Krishna on the altar. These are all ways to ultimately purify our heart. But the symptom of real sincerity is that we're losing our propensity to criticize others. Or in other words, to transcend envy, to transcend arrogance. Trinadapi Sunichena. That is the standard. That is the path. The doors are open for all of us. Back home, back to Godhead. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And now we will hear from His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. Let us welcome him back to Radha Gopinath Temple.